Telepod. I'm Chris Hewitt. That was a bit loud, wasn't it? I started. Oh, that was a bit. That was a bit TV presenter, wasn't it? Bit kids TV presenter. Hello, Pod.
It was like you were in the broom cupboard.
It was like I was in a broom cupboard.
I don't
wasn't
understand
it?
That reference.
Yeah. It's oh, TV. Come on. Oh, come of course on. You understand that reference.
Ed the Duck.
Oh, Ed the Duck.
Broom cupboard. I remember Ed the Duck.
Yeah, they were in the broom cupboard. Andy Peters.
I remember Andy
Crane.
Peters.
Philip Schofield.
Yeah.
Boris Becker. Oh, no, that's a different cupboard.
Philip Schofield appears in the show.
Yes, he does. All right. Good segue.
Yeah.
Hello, Pod. I'm Chris Hewitt. And welcome to this very special episode of the Empire Podcast and
the Pilot TV Podcast.
Oh, there he is.
Yes.
Right on time, in association with Disney Plus. This is an episode dedicated to, we do these every now and again, where there's a show coming out on Disney Plus that we're very excited about. And we get together and we have a big old crossover event. This is like that
this
time that Munch from Homicide Life in the Street appeared. Okay. Kay has started, carry on Kay Ribeiro here, by the way.
Yeah.
Very much so. Munch from Homicide Life in the Street, played, of course, by Richard Belzer, appeared also on The X-Files. So it's a bit like that. And The Simpsons. And Arrested Development. And I've said
real
this before,
hybrid situation.
He holds the record for the single greatest number of appearances by a character on different shows.
Oh my God.
Many of which are completely unrelated to Homicide Life in the Street.
You are full of the facts.
I should be on the Pilot TV Podcast.
You should.
Always
or the
welcome.
Pilot Plus.
Yes, that's right.
Got to pay extra for nuggets like this. It's the one thing I know. Yeah. I've said it
many, many times.
See,
it's worth the $1.99.
It is.
Very
it
much
is.
So. Very much so.
I pay £2 for that fact.
Ah, that was an extraordinary fact.
Hmm.
And that's an extraordinary segue because the show that we're talking about today is indeed extraordinary. The 8-episode... I was going to call it superhero comedy, but it's not because it is absolutely not about superheroes. It's a superpower comedy,
yeah.
I would say, on Disney Plus, created and written by Emma Moran and starring a really talented cast of young up-and-coming stars who I think are going to be on our screens quite a lot over the next few years because they are frankly brilliant. And it revolves around the premise that everyone in the world gets a power after their 18th birthday. With the exception of our show's lead, Jen, played by Mairead Tyers. And it is a very, very funny, very raunchy, very sweary comedy that I really, really liked. And so here to talk about that for the next 5 to 10 minutes or so, our Pilot TV's finest, Boyd won't like that.
No, he won't.
But it's accurate.
It is accurate.
It's accurate.
Always be truthful and accurate.
It's the A team. You've got the A team. Boyd is the B team because his name begins with a B.
That's right, yes. Mm. And also, he's not very good.
Terrible. We can
terrible.
Say that.
He won't. Because he won't listen to this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, Boyd, dreadful man.
Terrible human being.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I'm glad you said it. If I said it, he'd say I was just picking on him. But
no,
this,
he's
you know,
lovely. He's a lovely guy. Anyway, we won't check into Boyd Hilton. We are checking into James Dyer and Kay Ribeiro. How are you?
We're good. You know, I will forgive the repeated mispronunciations of Kay's name on her behalf, but it's good.
What am I doing?
Always
is it Ribeiro or Ribeiro?
Whoa, no, always think bear, not beer. Ribeiro. I've blown his mind. Look at
bears,
him. He's just like, he's lost for words. This never happens.
Bears, not beers.
Ribeiro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've met you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen each other for a few years.
Yeah, yeah. But you don't lead with your surname.
No. That'd be weird.
Only Bajorans do that. Excellent Deep Space Nine reference there.
For more stuff like that, you can sign up to Pilot Plus. James banging on incessantly about Star Trek insert name of show here. Let me guess.
Go
Voyager.
On. No, that was Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Because they're on the ship. With the
Although, you know, you could have gone with Next Generation if you wanted to go for Michelle Forbes' character, Ro Laren.
I mean, this is just white
first,
noise to me.
Bajorans that we were introduced to.
I'm joined by Kay Ribeiro and James Dear.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's
Chris's
good.
Superpower is pronunciation.
Yeah. My superpower, by the way, is making sure the podcasts stick to the subject.
You're very
stick
good
to
at
the
it.
Topic in hand. Yeah. I'm very good at it. We do not go off on tangents. We do not go off on train train tracks. Train tracks are really interesting, don't you think? All right, no, anyway, so the show is extraordinary, and before we get into it and we discuss whether vigilantes are heroes, that's going to be a big talking point, quite clearly, and how Kay spells her name, we're going to hear from... First of all, we're going to hear from the people behind Extraordinary. First of all, you're going to hear from its four leads. They are Mairead Tyers, who plays Jen. They are Sophia Oxenham, who plays Carrie. Luke Rollison, who plays Jizz Lord. There's no getting around it.
Yeah.
As I say in this interview, there's no getting around the fact that he is called Jizzlord. That is the name of his character, Jizzlord.
Yeah.
The character's name is Jizzlord. And
Lord of Jizz.
Lord of Jizz. And then there's Bilal Hasna, who plays Cash. So there we go. I had a chat with them. I was, I think, their first ever interview as a quartet. Talk about a low bar to clear after I've left the room. But I had a ton of fun with them. Here we go. Do please enjoy. We are delighted to be joined on this very special, extraordinary special by the stars of Extraordinary. How are you all?
Great.
It's too many to mention.
Yeah? This is the first one we've done, so.
I know, but this is your first interview for the show, or your first interview of the day?
Of the day.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So you've started the lowest possible point with me.
If this goes bad, we're not doing any.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, spoiler alert, it's going to go badly, because my superpower is that I ask hackneyed questions. Questions like, I mean, this is a show obviously revolving around the idea of powers, that everyone has powers. If you had a superpower in real life, I can't believe I'm saying this as the first question, but that's what I'm going with. What would it be and why? Bilal, let's start with you.
I think if I were to have a superpower in real life, it would be quite similar to Carrie's in the show, actually, Sophia's character. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to channel the dead, but I would want to be able to sing like anyone dead or alive. Because I absolutely love to sing. Unfortunately, I'm just not good at it. So I would love to...
That's not true.
No, I can't sing. I can't sing like Whitney Houston, and that's the crucial problem here. I'd love to have Whitney Houston's voice.
It would have been you.
No one can sing like Whitney Houston.
It would have been me in the Whitney biopic. The only thing that got in the way was the voice, unfortunately.
He got as far as the chemistry was, and then they thought, look.
No, but I just love every day. You know, especially like when it comes to the end of the night, if you're on a night out, you know, you're singing on the bus home. Imagine if you open your mouth and Mariah Carey comes out. Like, actually, Mariah Carey
comes
out.
Would you look like, you would look you. You would be you, but you would still sing loads of different.
Exactly like Carey. Okay. But my eyes wouldn't go anything.
Wait, you look like you.
I look like me. Exactly like me. So what I'm trying to look for here is to be able to morph into Sophia Oxenham and sing like Mariah Carey.
All right, that's good.
Fair play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you?
I feel like it would be nice to. I'm not a very good swimmer, I would say, and it'd be quite nice.
Your power is to be a good swimmer.
No,
you
I wasn't.
Started the day on the most ordinary.
No, but like a really good, like fast swimmer that could like
with webbed hands and stuff.
Yeah.
Would you like to retrieve the brick from the bottom of the pool? Is that what you'd like to do?
You never got to.
Is that what they do?
If you do it,
that's what swimmers do.
That's what
they do. The brick from the bottom of the pool.
I would say like
someone needs to save that brick.
I'm down there because I'm quite a fear of water, and I don't trust myself to breathe at the right times. So to round that up, I would say to have gills. So that I could breathe properly underwater and then
like
never
Kevin
be fearful of swimming. And
Waterworld.
That would just inevitably make me a good swimmer.
And you.
Okay. Listen, you're there's a lot of things. No, that's a private one. There's a lot of things I'm bad at, but I'm not going to use that as my superpower. Sorry, guys. I'm going to go a little bit more traditional on this one.
Yeah.
It's my first one. Chris, at the end of the day, it might be different, but this is for right now.
I'll check back in.
I'm going to go with invisibility. And I'm going to tell you why.
Okay,
that
please do.
Because I love to people watch, especially on the tube. I love to stare. But I get clock staring the whole time, and then they're staring back, and it's always awkward, apparently very rude. I'd like
apparently,
to sit
yeah.
I'd like to just sit there on the tube and watch people and have gills. No, invisibility will be my
right. Luke?
I never learned how to ride a bike, so no. I think I'd like to be able to always know what my hair's doing. No, I wouldn't be able to control it. I'd just like to know what it's up to. I'd be like,
right.
Oh, doing that, are we? It's always up there.
It is.
And I never
it's
know
unfettered.
What's going on. And then you have people, you know, you'll be on set and then someone will be like, and but you can't hear that. It's a podcast. So, but they're gesturing with their hands and it's all a mess up there. It's a nightmare for continuity. I'd be more continuous. I'd be Mr. Continuous. Mr. Continuous. And then we'll be like, how is he so consistent.
You have the best hair.
You do. That's
it's
the
you're, yeah, yeah, amazing hair. It has a life of its own. Yeah.
I take it back, flight. No.
yeah. What would yours be?
I would not be asking hackneyed questions at junkets. I don't know. I'd like to use something like that makes a difference in the world. And frankly, Marie, swimming. I don't
makes
know if that helps.
Difference.
I don't know if it does. I don't
all
know if it does.
Bricks. Are you what joking? Are we building houses out of if we don't have all those bricks?
Swimming is a deeply world-changing activity.
I need to dig into this. Look, do you think houses are built by people retrieving bricks from the bottom of swimming pools and then put them together?
Where
as houses?
Bricks come from, Chris? Where do those bricks come
is this
from?
Like
that's
an activity
a really
you do
good point.
To swim or
I'm a bit confused by this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the bricks and then you bring them back up and you get some points.
You're joking.
Yeah, you get
we used to like
you
inflate
get
pajamas. We bring in pajamas and have to like blow them up and then
what?
Save each other from drowning.
You have inflatable pajamas.
Irish swimming is very different from
very different.
Wait, how would you inflate a pajama box?
Blow it up like.
What?
Or maybe you feel I can't remember, but then you try and save each other from it, maybe that was a first aid course. It must have been. I don't know.
We'll drive your lesson.
Wait, you used CPR on some pajamas and blew them up.
Yeah, we used to have brain pajamas and then.
You know what could be cool if you could swim from the beach in Cork to another country. I was thinking that when you mentioned
it. This is what I was thinking.
I was like,
okay. Okay. That's good. That's good. That's not too bad. My power. I don't know. I'm really. I'd like to fly. Wouldn't you like to fly?
Yeah,
that is to be honest, that's the best one.
In this world, people who have flight have like higher status as well, I would say.
Yeah.
But I feel that sometimes they're a little arrogant with the flight because it's so kind of
like Luke's character in
People shouldn't be that free. You know what I mean?
I'd be worried about hand luggage and carry on luggage, but otherwise I'd like to fly.
Where would you fly to if you could?
I'd probably fly to the Maldives, to be honest. not bad.
The
and then
thing
I'd swim
that
for bricks.
Would take a long time. You'd be up there for about 16 hours.
Yeah, I would. Actually, I know what I'd like to do. Really, if money was no object, and nothing's off the table, I'd like to have an Oyster card that just makes me travel anywhere within London.
Within zones
1 to whatever it is, for free.
Could you go anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world.
Could you go anywhere in the world?
Yeah, I'd be called the Oyster.
The Oyster.
Well,
the Oyster.
Like...
Be your superhero name. Yeah,
that's bad.
The Oyster. Oyster Man.
Yeah.
Oyster.
And you have a pearl.
Just the Oyster.
Yeah. Maybe that's where the Oyster is.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be on your tongue.
Yeah.
So you'd be lapping away at those Oyster card machines.
I'm so glad you finished that sentence.
But not very hygienic, yes. I would say.
Why does everyone want to fly but no one wants to tunnel? That's what I always wonder. Like, why is no one like...
What do you mean by
that? Because obviously flying can take you anywhere in the world, but so can tunneling.
This is true.
And I'm afraid of heights. I want to tunnel.
But aren't you afraid of
that when you
dirt caving in and collapsing on you?
Avalanches.
Yeah.
Mole man.
Have you thought about dirt caving in?
Yeah.
Have you thought this through, Luke?
I've thought about it.
You're going to have to wear a hard hat for that.
And frankly, Luke, it would do terrible things to your hair.
Deeply hard.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to make a choice.
Oh my God, Mr. Consistent.
Yeah. It's One Direction, tunneling.
Which bad power.
I think, in a way, that you've all chosen things that would help you as actors. So, Luke, you've chosen continuity, which is a tremendous power because, you know, if you're smoking a cigarette from one shot to another, the length changes, or if you're drinking a glass of water and the amount of water in a glass changes, you want to get that shit right, okay? Yeah. So that's good. Sophia, you've chosen invisibility so you can, frankly, creep on people. But that's good.
Research.
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 Right, you've chosen swimming. And that will help you in...
If I ever play the part of a swimmer. I'll be there.
The Duncan Goodhue biopic.
Not Tony Bailey. What's his name? Tom Davis.
Tom Daly.
Tom Davis. That's how I know that man. He's a friend of mine. Yeah.
Also, amazing casting as well. And Bilal, you chose... I can't remember what you
chose.
What did you choose?
Like Whitney Houston.
Yeah, that's great.
Another biopic.
I mean, you've missed the biopic window for that, but still not bad.
They'll do a remake.
Well, there's not a Mariah biopic, and I'd happily do that as well.
Transformational. Ooh. Okay. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. So did you have the conversations like this on set of this show? Because we should talk about the show.
Yeah, we should.
I think at some point we should talk about the show. Did you have conversations like this? Because one of the great things about Extraordinary is the chemistry between all four of you. And I'm seeing it right now as well. You know, not evident right now at this very second because you're just looking at me, but... When you're talking,
we always sit like
you just sit in silence and just stare.
We normally had an interviewer to kind of help us.
Help
love it. Keep it going. You know what I mean? Oh my God, when's Chris getting here?
Last question. Yeah. Last conversation before lunch. Wrap it up.
Did we ever discuss powers?
Yeah, we did. In that day in rehearsals, we had a day in rehearsals where we had to, you know, the game where you stick something on your head and you have to guess who it is.
Oh yes,
but we did that with powers, but we had to give each other powers.
I'm telling you right now, it doesn't work as a game. You cannot guess it. Mine was long neck. That's why I was like, oh, this is good.
Who wrote that for you, or was that the one that you gave?
No, I wrote that. I gave that to John. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Saf had a mad one.
Oh, to use hers was to anytime she was on the tube, she could transform.
Are you sure?
She could transform into a chair anytime she was on the tube. Yeah,
but then you would get to sit down.
No, you would just
be in a chair.
Sorry, yeah, that's true.
Does it work on the overground? Does it work on the DLR?
Just the tube.
Just a tube.
Yeah, it was neat.
Why?
I think because she was feeling.
She's not here to answer for her crimes,
but I imagine it'd be like if you're like stuck in the tube and it's like really busy that you could just go, oh, have a sit down.
I think that week that had been like going into rehearsals, there'd been a lot of. It was very busy. It was rush hour, and I remember her saying it's rush hour. And so someone came up with the idea of turning it into a chair.
I think you can see the faint horror on my face here. But this is also because on the tube, it is alleged that most seats are really disgusting and dirty. And
most chairs are actually people transformed into chairs. That's the real allegation.
Yeah.
And TFL's looked into it, but there's just nothing.
That's why the tube is so loud to drown out your screams.
Yeah. If you see something that doesn't look right... Talk to a member of staff.
See it. Say it. Now that is a transformational performance. It has to be said. But on the show itself, I wanted to talk to each of you about your powers and your characters. And Bilal, were you in the show for the cash? There you go. I had to say it.
Very good.
If you could turn back time, would you turn it back to the beginning of this interview and just stop it from happening?
I just keep turning back time so we could just keep talking a little bit.
That is your power.
Yeah, I can turn back time by 4 minutes 30 seconds or 4 minutes 50 if I've carb loaded.
Yeah.
Everyone always laughs when I say that, and for me it's like such a serious thing. I'm like 4 minutes 30 seconds, like that's my power.
The carb loading, it sounds like a gag.
It's real. It's in the script. It's in the original text. It's in Emma's original text. That is my power, yeah.
Yeah. Is that a power you'd like to have in real life?
I would actually love to have it. I thought that it would be good for when you wake up in the morning and you want a bit more sleep and you turn back time. But actually, I feel like when you think the logistics of that through, it's not going to actually create a nice thing because you're just constantly waking up. Do you know what I mean?
Plus, it tires you out. It tires out cash.
It's just like snoozing your alarm.
It's like snoozing. And you're not actually enjoying the sleep. Yeah, I just don't actually think. But yeah, yeah. But to answer your question, I would, yeah.
What would you use it for, though, if it was real life?
I think probably the same things that Cash uses it for, like when he fucks up and stuff.
Yeah.
When I burn rice. I don't know why that's supposed to be the game to have. I made some jasmine rice last night and I accidentally burned it.
Big plot point. Episode 3. The rice.
You know, you have to scrape out the bottom and it's just humiliating.
I know. See the scrambled eggs.
Exactly. But imagine you could just turn back.
Scrambled eggs in a rice cooker.
I like them like that.
Think of the things you could do. You could win MasterChef with a power like that. That's incredible. Look, there's no getting around this. You play a character called Jizz Lord.
Yeah. It's true.
It is true. It is very, very true. But that is not his
My
power.
Mother now.
Oh. How did she react to that?
Yeah.
I tried to be like, oh, it's like I'm just hanging out with my friends. No, there's no way around it. There's no way around it, Chris.
Absolutely no way around it. We've got to confront it head on. But you're also a shapeshifter. Is that something that would appeal?
Yeah. I am a shapeshifter. Just like acting in many ways. No. Well, Chris, in many ways, I am a shapeshifter. It's very funny because I'm a terrible actor.
Come on now. Shut up.
You are a shapeshifter. No, but I'm so sorry, Disney team next door. But my character has has the power to transform into an animal, specifically a cat, mm-hmm. but they have no control over when that happens. What, guys? Come on.
You sound like a uni lecturer.
Specifically a cat.
Specifically a cat.
Tabby toy.
Actually, it's a black cat with a stripe. So, joke's on you, yeah? So, yeah, it does mean that I share the role with a cat called Annie, who plays the role of Jizz. I still, like, whenever there's a thing, it's always like Luke Jizzlord the Human. Like, people will be like, oh, of course, yeah, like we get confused.
It's like, that's his surname as well.
Yeah, one time I was in her dressing room and I was like, what is this about? All these scratching. Yeah, I loved it. It's very small. I was carried here in a cage, but that's different. But yeah, so a fairly temperamental cat. Yeah. So if I actually, I would love to be able to shapeshift into that cat and just do both parts, but not tell anyone. Double pay. Shh, don't tell Disney.
Clever.
Also, she got treated like royalty. She got a massage before she went on set. Yeah. This cat.
Was that a rumor?
Really?
That was true.
She actually got a massage.
Yeah, true. Fee, did it. It was not in the rider.
I was wondering where you
just
were.
Do it.
You were always on set when you worked on the call sheet. It was really there.
And you sort of spoke to Annie in a sort of strange sort of parcel time.
And that JT just to carry her in.
It's possible I've lost control. Anyway, Sophia and Carrie, you communicate with the dead.
Yep, I channel the dead.
Yeah.
Which is a power, Chris, I don't think I would really want in real life, to be honest.
Why not?
Because I'll tell you why. I know that I would use it badly. I would just use it for a joke, and I just don't think that would be right. Morally.
Right. Who would you try?
Morally, I'd be awkward in a situation, and I'd be like, right, let's get them in, and I channel them, and I just, it's the dead, you know, you don't do that too much.
Yeah, this
you
is true.
Be respectful.
There are consequences, yeah. Surely, of...
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, I imagine it, this is complete imagination, but I imagine that it's a very, like, tiring power to have.
Yeah.
Because all that energy.
Yeah. But at the same time, if you could channel anyone, dead or dead, who would it be?
Good question.
Very good question.
That's just so messy.
It just came to me.
So many dead people.
There's so many dead people.
You wouldn't believe.
Shall we list them?
You choose from, like a karaoke or something?
I would quite like to channel. Imagine if I said someone wasn't dead.
This is
this is a safe space. Okay. You say the name, I'll tell you whether they're
dead. I would like
dead.
To channel, but I'll tell you why. Okay. Freddie Mercury, because I would like to do a performance and invite Bilal. So you can watch me in a performance as Freddie Mercury.
Watch you Freddie Mercury.
And then have a party afterwards.
That so that's what, me and Marie just don't get an invite.
No, you just...
You can come to the party.
You guys can come to the party.
With
this is just a me and Fia situation, sort of the actual channeling itself.
So what would you do? Would you do like a full set? Would this be just for Bilal, or would you do Wembley Stadium?
Okay, I do Wembley Stadium, but only Bilal will be in there. I just feel similar dreams to this.
Bill's like trying out all the seats.
Right at the back.
I'm going to stop you right there, Freddie.
The acoustics are not great.
I'm just going to go to the box, see if I can hear you. Project, my darling, project.
And then after there's a party with these guys, but in party like Freddie Mercury does.
But empty Wembley Stadium still. Yeah. Just the four of us.
That's amazing. That sounds incredible.
And you can come too, Chris.
Thank you very much indeed. Yeah, and what about everyone else? There's loads of other people here.
Max, guys, you guys can all come as well.
Would anyone like to come to this
fake party?
Max will be there.
Freddie Mercury? No?
Let's list everyone in the room.
Let's do that. All right, I'm getting the hand sign, which is
it's time for us to take off. Time
for us to carry on for another 4 hours. And we're talking about powers, and I'm finished with Mairead because obviously there are no powers for Jen.
No,
not at least.
All you guys showing off. You're sitting here and nothing.
You can't get swimming lessons, you know that, right?
Jen actually doesn't need a power because she can swim really well. Once her gills kind of form, she'll be flying around.
But at the risk, and I realise I maybe should have done this at the beginning of the interview rather than at the end, at the risk of asking an actual question about your character. that's something that obviously drives her all the way through the show. She has these feelings of alienation and I guess anger about not really having these powers, which
and I think it's like I feel like that resonates with that time in your life when you're that age and you feel a bit useless anyway. Because it feels like other people are either have like got careers sorted or they're like, I don't know, found a flat or something that they really like, which Jen does in this show. Mm-mm. But it's like, yeah, it's kind of a bit of a lost, you feel like a bit of a lost cause. And I guess she's able to channel all those feelings into her feeling of not having a power and how like shit that makes her feel. Yeah.
I guess the power makes you feel like special and you're trying to figure out like what makes me special. What's
and I think thing? And she has this belief that like once she gets her power, everything will be sorted in her life. But it's like through the series as you see her like trying to get her power, she's realizing all the other elements of her life that are all like akimbo. Like she needs to sort all those out in order to.
And that is so true of life, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
what's
so clever about Emma's writing is like it is so true about life is you feel that once I get this or have this, I'll feel
I'll be
fulfilled.
Happy. Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
No. Absolutely. And not to give anything away, so I'm not going to spoil anything for how that that quest for power goes, but I'm surprised to see it was swimming and retrieving bricks from the bottom of the swimming pools.
It was.
The house she built.
Oh my God. Those bricks. It's phenomenal.
It is indeed phenomenal. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck. Thank you.
That was our first one.
Okay, so that was The Stars of Extraordinary. I'm not going to say their names again. It takes up far too much time. And next up, we have the writer and creator of this show, Emma Moran. And it is Moran, as we talk about in our conversation, not Moran. She is something of a Wunderkind, as they say in Germany. And she wrote and created this show when she was in her late 20s, so I give up, quite frankly. Anyway.
That is depressing.
It is very, very depressing. But here we go. This was an interview that was more about how the show came about and about the ins and outs of creating something like this, which is very, very funny on an episodic basis, but obviously has an arc as well. So here we go. Emma Moran, do please enjoy. We're delighted to be joined on this very, very special Extraordinary podcast by the creator and writer of Extraordinary, Emma Moran. It's Moran.
It's Moran, yeah.
Let's get it out there now. It's not a podcast, but that's...
It is, yeah. Whenever I go to like if I have to say my name anywhere and I say Moran, they're like, what?
You mean Moran.
Yeah. I've just internalized it now.
Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. It's time to reclaim Moran, I think.
I will, yeah. Get rid of all the other Morans in pop culture and just have me.
Are there that many, really?
Dylan, Caitlin.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right, okay. Well, we'll start with those two.
Yeah.
And then we'll move on.
And then I'll be the only one left.
All right,
and
we've hatched a plan. That's good. I like it. Congratulations on the show. It's a ton of fun. I mean, it's an obvious question to start with, but where did the idea come from for you?
I don't know. I'd always wanted to write a sort of flat share sitcom. Seems like a real sort of comedy British-Irish staple. But I don't know. Every time I tried it, it just felt kind of like I'd seen it before. There was nothing sort of special about it. And I guess while I was doing that, I was also sort of felt like pop culture was being sort of inundated with superhero movies. And luckily that's stopped.
there are no more.
They're still coming. And I like them. But and I just sort of wires kind of crossed and I was like, it might be fun to take this genre where everything's about being the best and being like the strongest, the fastest, the hero. And then mashing it up with sort of a grimy flat share with a lead who is none of those things and is trying and failing to be those things.
Yes.
Sort of hero and anti-hero. And it just sort of, came together nicely and just sprung out a lot of ideas from that.
That's interesting. So it's almost like you started with the flat share thing and then bolted on the superhero element to it. And then the idea of Jen being powerless. I mean, this big idea of everybody in the world getting a power when they turn 18. It's incredibly hard to do something new and fresh that hasn't been done before. And you know, when I heard the story for this show, I was like, oh, okay, that's it. That's a great idea. So, where did that come from? First of all, was that something that you reverse engineered, or was it a eureka moment for you?
The Jen being powerless.
Just the idea. Well, first of all, Jen being powerless, but also the idea that everyone gets powers when they're 18.
Oh right, yeah. I think I didn't want to write anything with children at all. So I was like, I'll make everyone 18. I don't know. I kind of liked that it was. I wanted to build a world where like powers weren't necessarily natural to it, but had been sort of like domesticated by the world a little bit. So they are new. Like in the world that the show is in, people started getting powers about 10 years ago. So they've had time to kind of bed in and become kind of banal. And then basically I always wanted to keep things a bit grounded. I always wanted to tie powers to like something relatable in life. So getting them at 18 is sort of, it's not one-to-one with puberty, it sort of gave a nice framework of that. I think everyone kind of understands that anxiety around like, oh, she's getting boobs and I have boobs and they've got, like, you know, and they're tall and I'm not tall yet. And it's sort of measuring yourself against other people. So that sort of making it a milestone was really handy to sort of build anticipation and disappointment around it and judgment. So, yeah, it was kind of just tying it to our world, basically.
Yeah. 18, obviously you can vote, you can watch.
Yeah, it's a transition to adulthood. And then if you miss that boat, are you just like an adult baby? Like, you know.
Yeah. And so when you hit upon this idea then, because the character work in this is so brilliant and so meticulous. So I imagine you start with the characters and then assign powers? Or did you have just enormous amounts of fun coming up with powers? Because as you say, there's such a great banality of powers here.
Mm.
And there's such a great variety of powers also. I can imagine you just chuckling away to yourself as you come up with some of those.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it was very... Powers and characters sort of got melded together and kind of came about together. Because I think a lot of powers sort of... What I wanted them to do is like speak to character a little bit. So we have characters like Cash, who is kind of immature and doesn't really want any responsibility. So for him to not have to deal with consequences and turn back time, that felt like a nice way to interrogate his character and like how you can use that for sort of selfish purposes and not and kind of gives you an excuse to like not really do any growing up and not learning from your mistakes. And then we have characters like Luke, who is sort of the really non-committal part-time sort of lover of the lead character who, you know, the second the hookup's done can literally just like fly out the window. And sort of that kind of like haughtiness and flightiness was really like great for his character. So there's I think they sort of grow organically out of each other. But then, yeah, you can always just slap a really stupid power on a guest character that you're like, you can make people come and that's it. And, well, to be fair, we also made that character really awkward and not like an alpha male at all. So it's like, it's more of a curse than a blessing, you know?
Yes. Yeah. That's, what was going through your mind when you came up with that power?
I was like, oh God, my mom's going to watch this. All right.
Yeah.
Great. I think just... I left all ego behind and like whatever was the funniest, I guess, is going on the page.
Because there's so much I want to talk about in terms of the character dynamics and the relationships at the heart of the show. And Jen and Carrie, I think it's this beautiful friendship. But there's, it's a lot edgier than I think people might expect. And you have this wonderful statement of intent, it seems to me anyway, at the beginning of episode one, where Jen comes in and has this monologue in which she says a whole bunch of things that you usually can't say in sitcoms. And then that continues all the way through. It's very adult themed, obviously. Was that your idea, really, with that monologue? You were sitting down, okay, this is a statement of intent. This is going to be an edgier, harder edged sitcom than you might be expecting. And I'm going to put all my cards on the table right from the off.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was, it's, for me, it's kind of true to life. That's kind of how I speak to my friends, I think. And I think for like the environment these characters live in, I think it makes sense for them to be that. And I thought, it also kind of just, it's just what I find funny as well. But I think it contrasts really nicely with that kind of like high-low thing that kind of goes through like the concept, which is just, you know, heroes are meant to be like the best of us and like, you know, chivalrous and sort of perfect and clean. And these people are just swearing and having sex and making terrible decisions and going out and getting drunk and
lovable idiots is what I would say.
Yes,
for the most part.
For the most part, yes. I guess it's. I like that we come straight out of the gate with that. Like it's not the sort of I don't know, I like to describe the show as like, it's got superpowers, but there aren't any superheroes in it. You know, these are kind of nice people, but awful people.
And when you wrote that monologue for Jen, did you have an actor in mind? Oh, because I was watching that and Mairead is phenomenal in this show. She hits so many different notes and so many different beats, and she has to be likable whilst being slightly unlikable. She has to be slightly sad. She has to be slightly caustic at times as well. She's got all these different facets to her. And I was just thinking, wow, you know, where did you find her from?
Yeah, I mean, it was for me, it was like instant watching the casting tape. So I was like, yes, of course it's her. But what was really interesting was that, like, it was never intended to be an Irish character, which feels really, like, sounds really weird now to say it, because, like, when I was writing it, I wasn't writing an Irish person at all. And then I think everyone else around me was like, but you are. Like, I don't, like, I was the last person to, like, realize it. And I kept getting casting tapes through of, like, Irish actresses. And I was like, why do they keep sending me? I like, these, they're fine, but, like, why are they just bombarding me with Irish people? And then I was like, oh, it's because I've written an Irish, like, the cadence and, like, the sense of humor and, like, attitude to life. It's just quite innately Irish, which kind of shouldn't be a surprise, because it's, I think that character is also quite close to me, and it's, I think, it's a character that's drawn from a lot of, like, my feelings and experiences in that kind of period of my life as well. So it's not surprising, but it was to me.
So have you ever left a rambling voicemail for your possible boyfriend, possible ex, whilst locked in the trunk of a car?
No, I tend to just say it to their face, to be honest. Like, I'm really not very passive aggressive. I'll just get drunk and say it and then leave immediately.
Yeah.
It's probably, no, luckily I haven't embarrassed myself quite as much as the show. I think it's kind of, I think that's just working through my sort of hungover anxieties of like, oh, what if I did that? That would be embarrassing. I can see myself doing it, basically. Anytime Jen does something awful, I'm like, yeah, I completely see the logic of how you would go from feeling a little bit insecure that someone hasn't texted you back to, like, you know, turning up at their house with a bottle of wine demanding they fly you around London.
Yeah, I can see that, absolutely. Mm. And this idea we've talked about a little bit, that Jen doesn't have powers, is at the core of the show, and obviously informs everything she does, you know, be it for good or for ill. And can you talk about that, developing that side of things with her?
Yeah, it's, I kind of see it as a bit of a catch-all for just feeling like you're missing something. Like, I feel like a lot of people, like, myself included, sort of go through life thinking a bit like, ugh, if, you know, I'll start doing stuff like when I lose weight or when I get this job or when I start making this much money or when I get a partner. And I think for Jen, having it be a power is just, it's just kind of another marker of, like, status in the world. Like, in a way, it doesn't really matter what it is. It could kind of be anything. But the fact that it's kind of currency in this world makes it, like, really acute for her. But I think because it doesn't exist in our world, you can kind of project whatever you feel like you're missing onto it. So hopefully it should, hopefully viewers can sort of empathize with Jen in that way, because I think it's quite universal, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And you know, I think each of the characters, is the main characters, are missing something in particular. And you know, but you give Jen this, and there are several key relationships. Her sister Andy is a huge relationship, but the relationship with Carrie is a big one. Mm-hmm. And there's you know, not to give too much away, but there's a lovely reveal about Carrie's power at the end of episode one. That is really, really touching as well. Can you talk about that central relationship? Because it feels so real and lived in, but also funny, but also with that tendency to, you know, the potential to break hearts as well. I mean, that's a hell of a thing.
I think it's, I don't know, I just find female friendship so complicated. And I don't know, I feel like the sort of most intense relationships I've ever had with people have been sort of like my female friends, like outside of any romantic partners. You know, it's really complex. And I think when I was originally conceiving of their friendship, I sort of was slightly framing it around a sort of hero sidekick kind of, what do you call it, dynamic, where Carrie sort of innately sort of falls back a little bit and Jen sort of is a bit more domineering. And I think they're, but they do fundamentally love each other. You know, I think it's just, it's really interesting to see how that dynamic plays out. And I think Carrie's story is sort of learning how to sort of step out of the sidekick role and sort of speak for herself, which is difficult because, you know, people tend to just use her to speak to other people. She's kind of like a phone that people speak, a vessel.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's kind of just going to be her story, essentially. But yeah, and also they're just two dumb girls that love each other very much, which I think is always nice to watch on screen, isn't it?
Absolutely. So can you talk me through the writing process for this? Did you lock yourself away? I mean, in a room for weeks on end and get the 8 episodes? Did things change when you pitched it to Disney Plus and became a Disney Plus show? And you have 8 episodes, 8 half-hour episodes. Did that change how you approach things like the overall arc of the characters? Because it still has obviously episodic qualities, as a lot of sitcoms do, but there is a wider arc here as well that you have to surface. So how difficult was the writing process?
It was hard to balance that, trying to write really funny sort of adventure of the week episodes that have their own personality and that you feel like you can dip back into in a few years, be like, oh, I like the episode where they did this, without having to sort of go back into this whole big story again. But then I guess working with Sid Gentle, who mainly does sort of like dramas, it was actually kind of nice to have them sort of keep me aware of the idea that we need to have this slight arc to a season and sort of, you know, 4 should be like a midpoint and sort of making sure that there's that balance of, yeah, we're having a lot of fun doing stupid stuff this week, but also where is this character's head at in this episode and keeping their sort of emotional journey charted while not sort of weighing everything down and making it too episodic. So I think that's always kind of the push and pull. Because I think with comedy drama, it's such a, I think it's still like an evolving genre. It's kind of hard to find a, I guess I can't think, there wasn't really a show that was like a direct sort of like, they do it this way and it works. So let's, I think every new show sort of has to figure it out for themselves and what the balance is. And I think that's the hardest bit. And hopefully we've got it right.
Yeah, because obviously there have been superhero comedies in the past, but this feels very new and different and fresh as well. But it's also very, very funny. And I'm fascinated. I mean, obviously people listening to this will be curious about the writing process and may want to write themselves. Mm. And you've eschewed, as a lot of British sitcoms do, British Irish sitcoms do, the writer's room. And this is something, or did you
we
have...
We did have a writer's.
You did have a writer's room.
Yeah, weirdly.
Okay.
Yeah, we did 3 weeks on Zoom.
Okay.
Which is the best forum for comedy, in my opinion. but despite that, actually, a lot of good ideas came out of it. It was really, really... I think because it's such a broad world and we can do a lot of world building within it, it was kind of a little overwhelming. Like, so much stuff came out of it. And then it's choosing what to, like, whittle down. It was kind of a bit... I don't know. I feel like a writer's room is meant to, like, make you focus on what you're going to do. But this one kind of, like, was... Oh, we could go in a million different directions, and all of them are quite fun.
Yeah.
So it was still great for that, but that then it's just taking that, and then I go away into like my bedroom for 8 months and go mad, and then something else comes out of it, you know.
Yeah. I can imagine Zoom meetings are where comedy goes to die. So it's like someone pitches a joke, and then it's like, but it doesn't get heard.
Yeah.
What was that? And then the moment's gone.
Yeah, I
it's
didn't.
Gone.
Quite,
yeah.
Yeah,
it was funny at the time. It was funny 10 seconds ago. Trust me on that one.
Well, that's like the fact that we were actually funny within it was a testament to how great the people were in it, that they could do it over Zoom.
Amazing. And then writing a comedy yourself, how important is it that you make yourself laugh?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
It's like, if I'm not laughing, then it's not going in the
That's it.
The script.
Yeah, because, so you have to get past that fear, because obviously sometimes people think if you laugh at your own jokes, which I've been known to do from time to time, that is somehow being immodest. But you got to make yourself laugh first, right? Otherwise,
If I don't find it funny, then no one else is probably gonna
right,
find it funny, you know? Like, I love this, like, and it's usually the dumbest. It's not like a clever joke that I'm like, ha ha ha. It's like someone farts or something and I'm like, oh, that's, I'm a genie. that's really funny.
There's an amazing character in the there's a Fett character who appears in a later episode who just made me laugh. Everything he did made me laugh, and I imagine coming up with a character like that who can hear animals' thoughts, but the animals are just horrible to him. That's that must have been a chuckler, a 3 a.m. chuckler.
Definitely, yeah. I think writing, because we had to write, I think like halfway through the shoot, I got an email from the producer being like, oh, can you just write like 2 or 3 pages of animals' thoughts, please, just so we have something to populate the vet? And I was like, say no more. I just brewed a pot of coffee. I was like, this is the best day of my professional career. I'm just writing like animals just absolutely suicidal or thinking about mating everything. It was, yeah, I think anything that makes me sort of excited to write is generally a good litmus test of whether it's going to come out well.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, I've got to ask real quick. Is there more on the horizon?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Hopefully. It's such a big world that it'd kind of be a shame to sort of let all that world building go into the ether. But yeah, we'll just have to see.
All right. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, Emma Moran. There you go. See, it's starting right here. Starting right here. Sworn enemy of Dylan Moran and Caitlin Moran.
It is Moran. I'm sorry. Like that. They're wrong. Yeah.
They're wrong.
They're wrong about their own names. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, so that was Emma Moran. And now let's talk about Extraordinary, which is this really interesting show. I mean, it's one of the things I said to Emma Moran. It's really tough to find a fresh angle on superpowers and superheroes. And this show kind of has done it. I don't recall anything like this before where people get powers at 18 and everyone in the world seemingly has powers, except Jen, seemingly, who doesn't. And now she's 25, going on 45, and is a bit down the dumps about it. This all feels very, very fresh to me. What about you guys?
I think for me it was less that setup, which is nice. It's a nice inversion. But it was more the fact that she just has a lot of fun with the absurdity of the powers that she gives some of these characters. Like the character who creates theme music around the mental state of whoever's near them. That's just inherently stupid in the best possible way. But the fact that this show begins with a genius situation. You can almost imagine this situation being literally the germ that spawned this whole show, that she goes into a job interview and the person interviewing her has a power whereby she has to tell the truth and all of the truth. And it's absolutely obscene.
You can't handle the truth.
Indeed. But it's a genius little scene and it had me laughing from the very beginning of this show. And if anyone knows me at all, they will know that's not a common occurrence.
I mean, he never cracks a smile.
No. And it made me properly chuckle.
Emma Moran's superpower is making James laugh.
That's it.
And in fact, Mairead Tyers, who is fantastic.
Very funny.
And I think, you know, they've struck gold with her.
I think a lot of the success lies in the casting of her, actually.
Yeah.
Like, because it's an original, fun premise and, you know, it's funny, well-honed script, but it's the casting of her because she's just so completely convincing as this angst-ridden 25-year-old who is in a deadbeat job, like toxic relationship with this hideous guy called Luke. I think we can all agree he's an asshole. And, you know, she's like really struggling with the fact that she hasn't got this superpower, even though she's going to get 18, she's 25. And it's this whole, like, I mean, I suppose the underlying, it's not even underlying, one of the characters I wrote down, the Carrie, is it, the friend, when she was saying how, you know, maybe the real power is being yourself. But it's true, like she's striving for this power when actually she's just, you know, it's all about acceptance and stuff. But I just thought it was so straight out the traps, funny. Like the first pre-credit scene, as you said, you know, in the interview scenario where she's just, you know, she's talking about why she's sitting awkwardly in her chair, which we won't give a spoiler to, but it's, you know, very funny. It was just, it's funny and fresh.
But it's also interesting because that's that period when you're in your early 20s where you are trying to find your own identity, your own, how do you fit into the world? What's your niche? Like, who are you? What's special about you? What stands out? And I think this kind of is like a larger metaphor for something that everyone goes through. So even though it's about superpowers, it's also, you know, relatable, which is nice.
Yeah. James, you don't have to be special, guys. Yeah. You don't have to have a special power.
Well, Chris knows better than anyone. You don't need to be special to succeed or fail upwards. You know,
I'm holding out hope. One day my power will hove into view and I'll feel complete again. But yeah, I guess we've all felt directionless at some point in our lives. Some yeah. later than others.
I mean, some still are.
This morning, are, you know, for me. So
yeah, it's a wonder if I managed to find this place. I'm so curious, but here I am. But yeah, I think that stuff's really interesting. What Emma Moran said was that it actually began with her wanting to do something around a flat share. And then she was trying to come up with a funny conceit to bolt onto that. And so the superhero thing came along second. But then she and, you know, the rest of the writing team, she said there was a writer's room in this thing, had a lot of fun coming up with the powers. So such as, I mean, you know, again, this is a fairly adult themed show, and it, you know, it gets into it right from the off. We've seen all the episodes, I think. Am I right in thinking there's all 8 episodes that are going to be on Disney+.
Oh, I hoovered them up. That's the thing. Like, superpower things aren't usually my bag. Mm. But I think it goes beyond this. Like, I don't know. It's just so funny that you don't have to be, you know, that doesn't have to be your genre or something you like. Because it's just relatable in terms of how you feel in your 20s and 30s.
Yeah. And it has that thing that I think all good kind of sitcom type things need to have, which is people you want to spend time with. And I think she's really good company. I think, weirdly, the fact that she's Irish helps a lot. The fact that she speaks very quickly in an Irish accent. Like, there's something about her delivery that makes even the jokes that maybe don't land as strong, they're funny because she makes them
inherently funny.
She's inherently likable, and I think that really helps.
This is why you hang out with me. You haven't understood a word I've said.
No.
In our entire friendship.
It's just a
noise.
But, you know, it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, I bring a special something to this podcast, that's for sure.
And actually, talking about Siobhan McSweeney, aka Sister Michael.
Sister Michael. Yes.
She's in it as well as Jen's mum.
So funny.
And yes. Yeah, she's really funny.
Because it does strike me, I mean, there is, you know, sort of there's an antecedent in a way, or antecedent, however you want to pronounce it, correctly or incorrectly. Ribeiro, let's call the whole thing off. There is, I'd say, more than a drop of Derry Girls DNA in this as well. And then it takes a little while, spoiler alert, to arrive at our core quartet. Mm. So when we first see Jizz Lord, the character called Jizz Lord, Luke Rollison plays a character called Jizz Lord. There's no getting around it. He plays a character called Jizz Lord. Jizz Lord is the name of the character played by Luke Rollison. We don't meet him until really episode 2, and then we don't really properly meet him until episode 3, and then he starts bonding with the rest of the gang, Carrie and Cash and Jen. But when they do get together, it's not quite the same dynamic, but it struck me that Jen is almost like, she's almost like all the Derry Girls crammed into one. There's something about her. She's got a bit of brashness. She's got a bit of overconfidence. She's got a bit of underconfidence. You know, she's got a bit of vulnerability and insecurities. And of course, she's got a mouth that would make a statue blush, which is very Irish indeed. So, you know, but once they get together, there's something really, really sweet about the dynamics, because it's quite a caustic sitcom at first. I mean, that opening scene is really good, but also, you know, there's an element of shock value to it. And I think once you get beyond that, you see that these are really, really lovely characters. Mm. And once they find each other and bond, it really, really takes off for me.
Can I just talk about one of the superpowers that I was very much enjoying from the first episode? Uh-huh. Was the online date guy who gives people, who like makes people orgasm just by touching them.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That did amuse me greatly. And I just think the fact that he had that Michael Jackson glove, right, which I now suggest should go in a 60-degree wash. I thought that was really good. And the only thing is, why would you not put that on your profile? Just a question to the table.
That's fair, actually.
He didn't put it on his dating profile. Surely you'd get more takers like
you
that.
Would.
But anyway, the whole scene of in the restaurant and then back at her flat, I just thought, yeah, she has a lot of fun with these superpowers.
Hmm.
The different... Yeah. It lends itself well to the comedy, right?
It does. Yeah, that is an interesting power. As someone who is... never made a woman orgasm. You know, it was fun living vicariously through him. I'll be honest, it was interesting. I had to pause and look for tips. Just touch the arm. Is that what you do? Is that the arm? I can't even find the arm.
I like Gary's power as well. I like, I mean, it's not a new thing to be able to channel the dead, but it's done very, very well here. I really like the way she channels them. She has their voice. She speaks. Her body language shifts. Like, it's a really nice performance. I think they did a good job there. Quite like the glowing blue eyes as well while she does it. But and then it's used a quite touching effect in, I want to say, the first episode as well. So
You should say the first episode, because that's where it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick question. Is Jen's dad played by...
Ardal O'Hanlon.
Yeah, is it? I thought, I was like, oh my God, that's Dougal. But I wasn't 100% sure. I wasn't sure. I was just thinking that every man of a certain age who's Irish is Dougal. But yeah, okay.
No.
Confirmed by Chris.
You let Dougal do a funeral. yes, indeed, it is Ardlo Hanlon, and that's a really, really lovely element as well. There's such a nice relationship. I think ultimately, at the heart of the show, at the core of the show, is Jen and Carrie's relationship. It just feels so brilliantly observed and really nicely lived in as well, and very realistic. While we're on superpowers, what superpower? I asked this of the cast as well. What superpower would you have if you could have anything? It's the most hackneyed question there is, but for this show, it's pertinent.
But I'm gonna before we answer this question, I think it's an important thing, and I want to know, Kay, have you ever actually thought about this question? And if so, how many hours/days have you spent considering it?
Okay, I spent about, I'd say, 30 to 40 minutes this morning.
I would guarantee that Chris and I have.
Oh, yeah, you've spent your lifetime.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God, hello.
I've spent a lifetime answering
this question. I mean, this is like what you're thinking about
question.
Every day. Yeah. No, for normals like me, I would just know 30, 40 minutes before I came here.
I mean, that's quite a lot of prep time. What did you settle on?
I've got quite a few answers, so you go first. Yeah, you go first.
It's like the opposite of a pilot question. You've got multiple answers. Dude, just throw out
joke
one.
Joke with a poke.
Wow.
Yeah.
Passive aggressive.
Yeah, aggression is I am passive aggressive, man.
Yes, you are.
Go on, you go first. What do you think? What would you like to have?
So my one, the one I settled on after many years of going backwards and forwards between super strength and laser vision and invisibility and flight and all these various things, I came to teleportation is the single most practical, useful superpower you can have.
You can have fun with it. You'd have to be practical.
No. Okay, I take this stuff very seriously.
Okay, no fun.
No fun. It would have to be teleportation, but not like I disappear from one place and appear in the other place. It would have to be the kind of teleportation where you open like a portal, like a gate. And not so that we could talk about portals, Chris.
Let's talk about portals.
Let's talk about portals. But I think that would be really practical. And I think it would be handy. And I could create a portal somewhere and then push you through it, and that would be funny.
Where would you go?
Where would I go? Right now, home. I'm tired.
But we're mid-podcast.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No.
You'll just go back to watch More Extraordinary.
I love James's imagination. It's boundless. Where would you go? Home.
Look, let's just cut right to it. I want to go home. I have a long commute, and this would really save me time. And let's be honest, travel fare.
Would you explore the universe?
Well, no, because like you'd end up in that situation where Silk Spectre, when she goes to Mars with Dr. Manhattan, where it's like, when you realize you can't actually breathe on Mars. Mm-hmm. So, no, I would not explore the universe. Mm. But I would probably explore Tahiti.
Mm.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Brigitte Maui. She would have said Maui. Please say Maui.
Yeah, Maui.
So I can do an organic setup. Say Maui.
Wow.
James, would you go to Maui?
Yes, Chris, I would go to Maui. Oh,
that's nice. Here's nice this time of year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. A teleportation portal.
I want portals.
Because teleportation would solve the world's energy crisis at a stroke, as explored in many science fiction stories. But one that comes to mind is Stephen King's The Jaunt. Yeah, of course it would.
How?
No need for oil. No need for fuel.
Not flying anywhere.
No carbon footprints.
But what would your TV run? Your TV couldn't run on teleportation.
Would run on electricity.
Created by teleportation?
No, but you don't need oil
Green
to create
energy.
Electricity, do you?
Hang on, I'm confused. You were saying teleportation would solve the world's energy crisis.
Guys, it's not that deep.
As in fuel crisis.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because you wouldn't, like, it would cut down on transport fuel.
Yes.
But you'd still need, you know, electricity is created by burning fossil fuels, so, you know.
Yes.
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 Or you could be like Oil Man, so you have an infinite supply, and then you could be paired with Carbon Sink Girl or something, who absorbed carbon dioxide, thus offsetting greenhouse emissions.
And then we could travel to Mars and terraform it, and then you could explore Mars.
That's true, we could. There we go, problem solved. Right, done. Question
I
answered.
Now don't want to give my suggestions. Mine are very basic.
Go on then. Go on.
All right. First of all, I thought of maybe being two places at once, because that would be quite cool, right?
One of you is enough.
No, but like right now I could be on my sofa in bed and just going through the motions.
You said I was unoriginal for wanting to go home. You want to be at home and here at the same time.
You know, give people what they want, but also just rest.
Yeah.
But fine.
People don't want this.
That's true, isn't it?
This general thing. Yeah. People don't want it. So
oh God. Yeah. Okay. Right. I'm bummed out now.
So you mean like Paul Rudd in that show that the name of which I've forgotten? Where he clones himself.
Do that.
Yeah.
But that was a weak one. I've got some more. Yes. I've got some more weak ones coming up.
Come on, right. Give me
acute
more.
Hearing. Okay. Right. So someone needed to know something that was going on in a different place. I'd be like, wait a minute, just give me a sec, like that. But then I thought I could then hear other people, like my loved ones having sex and people slagging me off. So I wouldn't want that acute hearing.
Kay's really annoying. Just
exactly right. So because of my acute hearing, I can hear you now. I know, it's annoying. So I don't want the acute hearing.
Spoiler alert, there is a character in the show who has that very power. And it is shown not to be all that it's cracked up to be. It would be very painful. Very painful indeed.
Boy, yeah,
it really would be. Acute hearing. Hearing your loved ones.
No one needs
love.
That. Yeah.
No one needs to hear that. That's a terrible superpower.
Awful.
If that's the only thing you could hear, that would be awful.
No, that's you wouldn't choose that. But if you had acute hearing, it would be a byproduct, right? I'm not going, I want my superpower to hear my loved ones having sex.
No, that would be weird.
Just to clarify the record. My last one, I also thought being super tall, but like, let's forget that. Because I thought, you know, reaching top shelves. Not like that, not like Nudie Rudy Mags, but, you know, just like stuff off top shelves.
Okay, superpower is she wants to be able to reach porn. Like, that's, I mean...
Cats in trees, but that only happens in cartoons. You know, I thought because I'm a short person, that might be quite cool.
Yeah.
But the thing I settled on, guys, I know you're itching to know, Chris looks...
Go on.
Fascinated.
I'm horrified by the whole thing.
Is if I had some power to zap some kind of energy with my fingers...
So like The Power, like the Naomi Alderman novel, The Power.
Mm-hmm. But using it on public, I've actually read the book, public transport, right? So that if anyone is making an annoying phone call as super loud, I could zap and it would just go off immediately. If anyone's picking their nose, instantly they're shocked. They get shocked. So I would use my zappy fingers as a power to stop anything annoying happening on public transport. What do you think?
So that's very good.
Are your superpowers limited to public transport?
I think so.
It's a TFL power, like specifically.
Yeah, otherwise it would be exhausting doing it all year round, stopping people being annoying and doing annoying things. So it would just be the tube. So like people make really loud keypad tones when they have them on. No, zapped.
Watching YouTube videos, on loud or playing a song,
making a phone call on speaker, zapped. What do you think?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'm afeared. I live in London, so whenever someone does that on the bus with me, you know, my superpower is just going, turning my head 70 degrees, and then going. And then turn it back again. And that's it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get punched
get your head
or stabbed.
Kicked in, yeah.
You don't want to get your head kicked in.
But if you were with me, gone.
You'd zap
problem
them.
Gone.
Okay, no, that's a pretty good power.
Yeah, that's a pretty good power.
I quite like the talking to animals power, but this show put me off that idea because I feel you'd get nagged by terrapins as someone does in this.
Mm.
And I don't think I'd like that.
Mm. Would you want a power that you could use for personal gain? So would you want a power where you could go in and rob a bank and then no one would know?
No, not rob a bank, but so this is something I thought about because I, you know, stealing is not something that I'm entirely comfortable with. But what if you could duplicate things? So like you go into a store, instead of stealing it, you could touch that MacBook Pro and it would just duplicate. And so you'd have your own that you could walk out with because you'd created a duplicate from the thing that was there. So if someone had a £10 note, I could touch that £10 note and then I'd have my own £10 note.
It would have the same serial number. I don't know what my power would be. I said in the interview that it would be, you know, being able to travel around London for free. And I might call myself the Oyster.
Yeah.
The free Oyster.
Yeah, I could go anywhere. I could go up to Watford and do the, you know, Harry Potter tour. That'd be good.
I love that.
Only just. That's nice Zone 6, to, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the power of the Oyster.
Yeah.
He could go anywhere.
Not around London. Not around the world. You just want London.
Just so southeast central.
You know how long it would take to go around London if you did every tube stop? It would take days.
I went to school with someone who literally did that on a weekend.
Wow.
Obviously, it was before the Victoria Line, but he wanted to get out at every single stop on the Underground. And two people, I will not name and shame them, but Nicholas Brody and Andrew Eston, literally did that one weekend, as I recall.
That's a dream, isn't it?
Yep.
That's a dream. I'd like to clone myself. I've got so much I want to do. You know? I could give all the boring admin stuff, you know, raising a child, that sort of thing, to one of my clones.
Like Multiplicity, like Michael
Multiplicity.
Keaton.
Mm. Yeah, precisely. And that, as we all know...
Are you the one with the spinny propeller hat?
Let's go with that. Let's go with that. As someone who has never watched Multiplicity to completion, then... then I will...
Was it exciting too early on?
I don't know how it... I'm worried that they might all die, so I've never watched it.
Yeah, the Attack of the Clones, that's a bit you want to stay for.
That's what anything that got clones in it, I get the fear. I'm worried I might give it 5 stars just automatically. Reflex action. Oh, 5 stars. Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it haunts me for the rest of my days. I'd like to erase terrible reviews from my past. That would be nice. That would be good. I'd like to, you know, I'd just like to bring around world peace. And
you're just that guy.
Pay people's energy bills.
That's commendable.
It's not funny. I just yeah. You know, I'm just being kind.
Yeah.
Everyone looks inwards. I look outwards.
You made me feel a bit like I should rethink my zapping people are with their keypad tones on now and do something a bit more humble and,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Profound.
But I wouldn't want a power that would be any good in a fight. And this is something that I think is interesting in Extraordinary, the show we're meant to be talking about, which is, you know, none of the powers are really useful in a fight. So it's not a superhero show, though Cash does try to, spoiler alert, in a later episode, put together a team of vigilantes, all of whom have even worse powers than pretty much the main lot. Not to give too much away, but there's a there's a man who can 3D print things from his behind, and that's a very useful that's a very useful power. And it leads to, I think, one of the characters has a power which leads to one of the funniest buttons in the show, which is in episode 5, if I'm right in thinking, which is very funny. All I'm going to say is that it involves a wall and a pair of buttocks. That's all I'm going to say.
Enough said,
true said. Believers. But none of these powers would be any good in a fight, except maybe the power to make people have orgasms.
I think that would be very
death
distracting.
Death by orgasm.
In a fight.
Yeah. It would be. Yeah.
What a way to go.
Dr. Doom. Yeah. It might cheer him up. Quite frankly, it's what he needs.
There's one character who's very strong. The sister.
That's true.
Actually,
she'd
that could
be
used in a fight.
Mm. This is true. Andy, the sister. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That would be pretty good. But otherwise. Jen doesn't have a power.
No.
Cash can rewind time by 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that Siobhan Sweeney's character can manipulate technology but doesn't understand how technology works, so cannot fundamentally use her power.
Yeah, that is genius.
Which is just, it's just a brilliantly observed thing. I think that's marvellous.
Yeah.
I love it.
The boyfriend Luke, who's a toxic entity.
He flies.
Yeah, he flies. But in a more realistic way, I would say, as well. And Jizzlord can shapeshift, but only animals.
Yes.
Which is...
Is
that a power that would come useful if, you know, if Magneto was coming at you and you could turn into a bunny? I don't think that would really help.
Put the bunny back in the box.
Indeed. But, you know, but that's what I like about the show. It's got a kind of... It feels very... Not grubby. Grubby's the wrong word. But it takes place in sort of the more insalubrious parts of London.
It does, yeah.
And there's a grottiness to it all.
There's a realness to it, a tangible real, which you would want to, because they're in a kind of low end flat share, aren't they? You know, that's where you want it to be.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I think the setting suits it very well.
At the beginning of the show, I said we would talk about the hot topic of the show, which are vigilantes heroes. James, you seem to think yes, are they? Or should they be punished for transgressions against the law?
I think it very much depends on the vigilante. In real life, most vigilantes are kind of alt-right lunatics, so probably no. But in comic books, they're the heroes. Batman, of course, being a vigilante. Mm-hmm. All of these people. So, you know,
technically,
the Punisher,
they're all vigilantes.
We can get on board with all of them. Yeah.
Spider-Man's a vigilante.
They are. And they're the good guys.
Yeah, they are the good guys. Yeah. Good, bad, and the guy with the gun.
That's right.
Kay. Where do you stand on vigilantes?
I'm pro.
Remember, you might incriminate yourself with your answer.
Yeah.
Kay, are you a vigilante? It strikes me you might be a vigilante. Do you vigilante at the weekend?
I'm a non-violent vigilante.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, we've already established she prowls the London Underground.
Yes.
Targeting people with their
phones
out.
That's the thing. Mm. Or, you know, someone drops a bit of litter. Excuse me, have you dropped this? Thinking it's an important document or something like that. So, you know, that kind of
passive-aggressive
vigilante.
Yes,
yeah,
like
I'm passag.
Yeah.
Vigilante. Doesn't work.
All right. Okay. Well, that took less time than I thought.
Yeah, we are pro-vigilante. We've decided. In fact, should we go and fight some crime?
I think we should go find some crime.
Let's go and do that
right now. I think my power should be segues because I do amazing segues. And while we're out fighting crime on the streets of London, look out for newspapers tomorrow. While we're doing that, while we're fighting crime on the streets of London, why don't you guys watch Extraordinary? All 8 episodes available now only on Disney Plus. And frankly, I had such a blast with this one. I can't wait for a second season or series because we're British.
We are.
On that note, that is it for our Extraordinary special episode, this incredible crossover episode of the Empire Podcast and the Pilot TV Podcast in association with Disney Plus. Extraordinary is now streaming on Disney Plus, so check that out. And in the meantime, all that remains is for me to say goodbye to my two super colleagues of such lethal super cunning. K Ribeiro.
Wait till we get out of this booth.
And James. Ah, it's gone. James Dyer.
Close enough. Thank you, Chris.
Dyer.
Yes.
James Dyer. Yes. James Dyer. And it's goodbye from me, Chris Hewitt. I'm about to exit left, pursued by a Ribeiro. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Bye.